The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. And we go where no one who is teaching the Book of Ephesians on the David Spoon Experience has gone before. Let's see if you pick that one up. First up, we dive into the third from the last time we're doing the Book of Ephesians. This is three, then two, then one. Ta-da! Done. And we're going to cover today the portion that talks about slavery in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. Next, does the Bible support slavery as America understood or understands it? Or is there something disconnected and amiss? I have a feeling you guys already know a lot of that answer. And finally, we examine the tension of being proud and being ashamed of ourselves and how that impacts other areas of our lives.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You can also call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972. So if you're going to call, you got to do the 972 number where T is ready to get the phone, 972-445-0770. Let's start off with something relatively simple. What was the name of the tower that the people were building when God confused their language? Ba-ding! That's it. That's all I want to give you. 214-210-8483, or if you want to call in, 972-445-0770. Keep in mind that any topic that we talk about is open, and if you text or call and you have a prayer request or a praise report or you want to answer trivia, you can go either direction there. Just remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Looks like we have somebody already. Responding to the question, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Deborah from Dallas.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing terrific. Although I will confess to you, I'm starting my big paper. I have a half a thesis paper I have to do, and there's 25 citations, so I have to review 25 different books.
Good luck with that.
Thanks. That's kind of what my wife said, like, good luck, don't bother me. Anyway, all right, so there was a tower. So they were building the tower, and the Lord came and confused the language. What was the name of the tower?
The Tower of Babel.
That is correct! You are right! Excellent job. And you know what's amazing about that story, and it's funny because it actually is connected, believe it or not, to my paper. I'm doing a paper on unity, and the unity being in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and not in various doctrinal positions. But all those people were of one mind and one accord, and the Lord's the one who said, if they keep going, they're going to build it. But we're gonna confuse their language. But when they were united, God even acknowledged they can get a lot done here. So that's a powerful entity. Excellent job.
That's a fact, right?
Yep, that's true. Excellent job. Thank you for calling in. You did a great
job.
All right, God bless you. All right, good job. Okay. That's the way to start the show, right? Here we go. All right, couple things I do want to tell you. I do have to cover from a historical point of view because there's three things that I have to tell you. One, it's National Corn on the Cob Day. I like corn on the cob. Now, I'm also one of those guys that likes corn, cream corn. I like any kind of corn. I'm a corn guy. I like that. Okay. Number two, now this is funny. It's National German Chocolate Cake Day. German chocolate cake, besides pecan pie, my favorite. And I'm going to just tell you a quick joke. So I'm going to give T the opportunity to buzz or to clap. It's up to her. This joke that somebody else told me. This is what they said. Did you hear the one about the German Chinese restaurant? The food was delicious, but after about 3 hours, you feel hungry for more power. That's kind of funny. All right. Anyway, for those that do not know, on this day in 1770, Captain James Cook discovered Australia. He must have been down under. That's what I think. He was down under. The first public demonstration of an FM radio broadcast took place on this day in 1935. See how far we've fallen? Look at our show. See how far we've fallen from the original demonstration. For those that are movie buffs, I will tell you, on this day in 1993, Jurassic Park, the original, came out. Now there's 900 of them since then. I hope that you guys saw the original. That was good. But after that, I don't know. And then finally, 1977, Seattle SLU won the Racing's Triple Crown. We just did Secretariat's Triple Crown. And the last thing, and I brought this up to Tierra the last time we talked, but the 1967, the Six-Day War ended. Do you know how long the Six-Day War was?
6 days.
That's right.
Yay!
Excellent job. It doesn't mean you can't have fun. Just because we're getting into deep stuff doesn't mean you can't have a good time. All right, let's talk about this. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. I'm not going to make any fake overtures or anything like that. The text is substantially different than what our country took it as. And we're going to cover that and look at that, but I want to get into the understanding of the Greek word. Let me say this about us, you and I, as people and as Americans, okay? There are things in our country we should be proud of. We've done a really good job of helping in medicine and helping feed people and do certain things like that. And there's other things we should not be proud of. How about 100 million abortions? I don't think that qualifies in this country as a prideful thing. I think that's a terrible thing. And I think there's other things that we've done that are not great. And the American slavery process was a bad application or twisting of the scripture. Let me go into this. I'll read it, and then I'll explain it. Okay? You ready? Here we go. All right. Before we do that, we do have to say, because it is expository, that we need to recognize that this is a big moment. It's a big wow moment.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Thank you. I thought that was great. All right, here it is. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men. Showing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord when he is whether he is a bondservant or he's free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. Let me give you a little bit of teaching. I want to give you some teaching on interpretation, because there's many translations that instead of using the word bondservant, they use the word slave. This was the first and big problem for American slavery. I'm going to read you a text. It's out of the preface or the preface. I don't care how you say that. From the ESV. Listen to what it says. A particular difficulty is presented when words in biblical Hebrew and Greek refer to ancient practices and institutions that do not correspond directly to those in the modern world. Such is the case of the translation of the word Ebed or doulos, which are often rendered slave. These terms, however, actually cover a range of relationship that require specific rendering. Bond servant, servant, it all depends on the context. Further, the word slave currently carries association that is often brutal and dehumanizing an institution of the dehumanizing institution of slavery that was founded in the 19th century in America. For this reason, the ESV translation of the words Ebed and Doulos has been undertaken with particular attention to their meaning in each specific context. Thus, in the Old Testament times, one might enter slavery either voluntarily to escape poverty or to pay off debt, or non-voluntarily by birth, by being captured in a battle, or by judicial sentence. Protection for all in servitude in ancient Israel was provided by the Mosaic Law. In the New Testament times, doulos is often described as bond servant. That is, someone who is bound to the master, to their master, and specifically for a length of time and a specific time period. But it also has to do with someone who might nevertheless own property, achieve social advancement, and be released to purchase his own freedom. The ESV usage thus seeks to express the nuance of the meaning in each context. Where absolute ownership by a master is in view, this word slave is used. Where it is more limited in the form of servitude, it is termed bond servant. Where the context indicates the wide range of freedom, servant is preferred. Footnotes are generally provided to identify the Hebrew or the Greek word. What's important about that you might not recognize is they take a word and they translate it. So let's say you have the word duck and they translate it. And somebody might translate the word duck as animal that quacks. And it's like, okay, but that's not really what it is. It's a duck. And the translation then gets picked up, and somebody who's looking for quackers might go and grab that. That's the problem. That's what America did, is they took a word, a rendition of a word, which, by the way, was not always rendered that, the word slave. It was often rendered bondservant, which is somebody who is in a much more of an employer-employee relationship. If you don't understand that, let me just clarify that when your boss pays you on Friday or on the 15th and the 30th, that's the typical relationship of a bond servant. It's a duty that's performed, and it's a payment that's received in order for people to engage in the economy. That is what was primarily focused. Keep in mind that God was the one that delivered Israel from true slavery, and he would not have them go right back and become slave owners in that same capacity. It's just absurd. But when we get back, we'll break down the scripture, then we'll go into a little bit deeper social context. Hang in there. It takes a bit to get it all. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people, and have so for the last 5 years, from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's my privilege. I just we got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you think about Lee Strobel, it's like, you ought to write a book. Really? It's like, he writes the book and it sells like 60 million copies.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? His wife. She knew. That's what's so amazing about that. He goes, sets out to prove her wrong. I don't know if you guys have seen the clip for the movie, because they're doing a review on it and a re-release. It's just amazing. It's just great stuff. I just love stuff like that. All right, let's get back to it. You know you can reach us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That's by text. So those of you that got your phone and you're ready for text, get ready, because I got another trivia question. The rest of you, you can call in if you want to, 972-445-0770. Here we go. How did the Spirit manifest when the Spirit descended on the apostles during Pentecost? What was the form, or what was the thing it looked like? It looked like something. What did it look like? Huh, what'd it look like? 214-210-8483. When the Holy Spirit fell, what did it appear like? That's probably the better way to say that. All right, so if I said that wrong, you're just going to have to bear with me. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. If you go there and you contribute to anything, we won't give you anything. We'll pray for you, whether you give or not. At the end of the year, we'll give you a receipt, because we're a 100% tax-deductible nonprofit organization recognized by the federal government and by the state government, I should say, both. And we have a really cool name, He Must Increase Ministry. I think it's cool. I call it HMIM. Comes from John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. Who doesn't like that? And then we have certain cool things on the website that give you an opportunity to kind of pop around there and see what's going on. Check it out. HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Check it out. We encourage you to. Email David@HeMustIncrease.org. You can always email me. I will, if you want it to be confidential, just say please keep private. Not a problem. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Again, the trivia question, when on the day of Pentecost the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, what was the form that the Spirit took, what it looked like. 214-210-8483 for the texters. There you go. So now, one of the things that I don't ever want to do when we're talking about expository on Scripture is not to exposit on the Scripture. So I just gave you a little bit of history on what they call hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is a fancy word for saying how you interpret the Bible. And so what I did was I read from you the premise that the ESV, the English Standard Version, was using, and how they understood and associated it properly with the concept of bondservant. Now I want to dive into that, because let's be honest for a second. Many of us, unless you are the boss, many of us work for people. Okay? And a lot of this right here in Ephesians 6, 5 through 9 has to do with that, and especially when you get into it. So let's do that right now. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with respect and honor, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Let's just start there. This is a big problem. From an employer-employee point of view, I have been an employer. I have been an employee. I have been the employer-employee. So that would be both. I have been on the one side. I've been on the other side. I can tell you right now, both sides have a lot of negativity, and both sides have some positives. Here's the first thing that the Lord says. Okay, when you're doing your service, okay, when you're in that process, and in this case, it's bondservant, so it's voluntarily, when you're doing your service, okay, don't do it by way of eye service. Do you know what eye service means? That means that you do it when you're supposed to do it, when somebody's looking, but when they're not looking, you kind of cut the corner. You go, yeah, it's not that important. Or when they're not around, you kind of skate in it, okay? Now, don't tell me, please don't tell me, you've never done it. I've never done it, Dave. I've never once in my entire life done a little bit better when they're looking at me as opposed to when they're not looking at me. Sure. Who believes that? In other words, there are times where you know you're being watched and you're just like, pup, pup, pup. And if you're one of those people that has an evaluation and you know you're being evaluated, boy, oh boy, put your best foot forward, wear your nicer shirt. I mean, it's just what we do. And what the scripture is saying is don't do that. It's so hypocritical. Just if you're going to do it, do it. Do it all the time, but do it as you're doing it unto the Lord. And here's something that's amazing the scripture says. The scripture tells you that whatever you do, however you're going to do that, you're supposed to serve as you're doing it, and you're supposed to work as you're doing it as unto the Lord and not to men. So you know that little bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? You know that everybody has that thing? Well, let me ask you this question. When you're doing your job, if Jesus was standing in the room, would you do it any different? And that's the thing you got to answer. Not anything else. You don't have to go anywhere else with it. You don't have to make any bigger deal of it. If Jesus was sitting in the room with you, do it. How would that go? Because that's how the work is supposed to go. That's how we're supposed to process. And verse 8 says, knowing whatever good anyone does, he'll receive back from the Lord. I know you think it's just the paycheck, and then they take the certain taxes out, and they take this out, and they take this out. But I got a message for you. When you work, you're not just working for the paycheck, though it often feels that way, but you're also working so that the Lord can honor you for the service you do. Now, you're going to get paid, but the spirit with which you do it matters. The inside of a person matters. In 1 Samuel 16:7, God told the prophet, I don't look on the outside like man does. I look on the inside. And if you look at the commandments and the Ten Commandments, and you look at the Sermon on the Mount, you find out everything God is examining is on the inside. So the simple question is, when you come to work, how's it going on the inside? Forget what everybody else is seeing, or forget the show you're trying to put it on, or forget being a people pleaser, or forget putting on an act, or whatever the case may be. What's going on internally? And keep aware, God knows every moment. Now, this isn't just employer-employee. I worked for Inogen Oxygen Company. So you had to make like 100 calls. You had to make like 100 calls on from their list in an eight-hour period, which sounds like it's a lot more than it is. But sometimes you could call a number, and if it didn't answer and you know it wasn't going to answer, you could call it one or two or three extra times, and that would count as your – it's just people do it. Don't stop trying to say they don't. They do it all the time. Okay. And the whole point is that kind of stuff. Are you doing it that way? Or are you doing it unto the Lord, as honorable to the Lord? That's the question. Because what we're doing is we're always looking on the outside, and we're always examining from that point of view. What's going on the inside? That's what God is working on. And in verse 7, just so you can know, it says, do it wholeheartedly as you're serving the Lord and not men, which means you don't do it with half a heart.
No, just doing that. Just get through my shift. It's just like,
I know that feeling. I've gone through it. I've worked in fast food all the way up to investment stuff and all of it. And I know that feeling. But there's points in our lives where you got to do a better inventory and go, I got to do this before the Lord, because he's the one who's really watching. Unless you think that, oh, well, the employers, they always have everything great. In verse 9, it says, masters, do the same and stop your threatening. Which, by the way, right there should tell you this is substantially different than the American philosophy. If you threatened as a person in authority and position, you got in trouble with God. If you just threatened, not if you did it, if you threatened, the action would get you in that much more trouble, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. A person who's a boss and a person who's a worker, one's not better than the other. That was the whole thing Jesus came to change. The rich men don't have, in fact, they have a worse opportunity for getting into heaven than those of poor. Then the reality is that God said, that the scripture says that God has chosen the poor of this world rich in faith. Because the rich man doesn't think he needs anything.
I have everything I need. I'm a rich person.
I will let you know that Billy Graham did preach one really fine message, which really drove a lot of people insane, where he said, if you live in America, you are the rich man.
That was a pretty good line. Because it's like,
okay, yeah, I only have one big screen TV. I only have three telephones. It's just like, there's people that are living in huts where dirt is their ground. So, cool it. Take a step back. And the whole process of this is God trying to tell you what kind of attitude you should have during work. And if you work for yourself and only for yourself, then you need to recognize that you still work for the Lord. You still work for God. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord. Whether you're in a position that's high or a position that's low, there's no partiality. God's not saying, well, this person's the owner, they're better. That doesn't exist in the kingdom of God. In fact, what do we say about the kingdom? It's the opposite that's true. Those people that are the most willing servants in the mind and the heart of God are the greatest people in the kingdom of God. Think about that. It's not those that lord it over others. It's those that serve others. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who washed the feet of the disciples. Ooh, sometimes you do expository. It's a bummer. It's like, ouch, that hurt. Okay, let's just finish up on the trivia question. The trivia question was, what was, quote-unquote, I don't know if it was a symbol per se, but what was seen when the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles on the day of Pentecost, and it was flames or tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. That was the answer. All right, take a short break, come back, and then I'm going to get brutal. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
On Christ the solid rock. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We are not, we don't shy away. I mean, we go right to it. I mean, we're not trying to make anything flowery or anything like that. The scripture says what the scripture says, and we got to respond to it and do the best we can. We're going to deal with slavery, American slavery, in this segment. I just want to point out that the really hardest thing for anybody to hear in what I'm saying is God is watching you while you're at work. And if you're cheating, stealing, fudging, half-hearting, kind of just checking in, trying to just get a paycheck and not recognizing that God is the one that rewards you for your service, he knows. Yowza. Forget all those little cameras they put in there. You've got God watching you on eternal tape. Oh, that hurts. All right. You want to reach us. And remember, you can't call this number. You got to text this number, 214-210-8483. That's for the texters. For the callers, you've got 972-445-0770. Here's the next trivia question. Who did Jesus say was the father of lies? Ooh. 214-210-8483 for texters. 972-445-0770 for callers. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Does everybody love me yet? Yes. I don't know why anybody in the universe thinks that doing radio is just, oh, that's just a popularity play. Sure it is. All right, let's deal with the real aspects of things, the main core of what I wanted to share about today. Once now that we've covered and done some expository teaching on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 9, is just to say it the way it is. And that is, American slavery is by far one of the greatest perversions of biblical truth that ever existed. For those that don't know, when tobacco became very popular in the South, the preachers got together and they decided, we're not going to preach against tobacco. You want to know why they came up with that conclusion? Because it was very financially beneficial for the states in the South and for the churches to also receive money. That didn't make that right, did it? No, it didn't. And American slavery was a complete perversion of biblical slavery. It was taking the text and twisting it in such a way And I'm going to read you a couple of things. You're going to go, no way. That's in the Bible? No way. So just get ready, okay? First and foremost, people say, well, the Bible condones slavery. Wrong. God's plan of redemption was to be worked out in the context of human history and in the context of human time. The evil aspects of slavery would disappear through change in human nature, working through culture in the context of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. As we look over the span of human history, we see that it was the force of Judeo-Christian ethics that made abolition of slavery possible. It's like, what, really? Yep. The abolition of slavery is a concrete example of God's redemptive plan working itself into human history slowly over time. Like, wow. Watch this. Furthermore, we need to define the word slavery. There were different scopes of slavery. There was no governmental welfare program like we have today. People could sell themselves as a slave to repay a debt. A person could opt for slavery, which means, and that's the bond servant, which means that their survival was assured of food and shelter and payment. That was a completely different system than what took place in America. That's not what America did. Was America went to a foreign land and took people. And we're going to look at that in a second because scripture talks about that. And what we know is American slavery superimposed on the idea of the biblical text. And let me tell you something, this happens all the time, not just in slavery, in 1,000 areas. People take one verse, one this, and they go, here's a new doctrine. And it's a shame. That's why you hear me preaching and pounding and teaching and yelling and screaming. Read all of it. God placed limits on biblical slavery. Hebrew slaves were to be set free every 6 years. All slaves would be freed every 50 years, no matter what the case. And listen to this, which you will never hear on any news report ever. God's word pronounced the death penalty for capturing people for the purpose of making them slaves. Have you heard that once? Exodus 21:16 talks about the death penalty for anybody that's kidnapped to be a slave. Have you ever heard that? That shows you the difference between biblical slavery and American slavery, because in biblical process, there is a very, very high level of protection. You could not kidnap somebody and make them a slave. That just ruined this whole country. Bam! But don't kid yourself as we discuss this. That is at the same level as 100 million abortions. Oh, no, that's just a fetus, not to God. So it's like, wow. Why I'm trying to make this, drive this home point is how far off they were. Slave traders, by the way, were condemned in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 1:10 and in Revelation 18:1 through 3. And in Paul's letter to Philemon, he makes a plea for the owner to show love to a runaway slave and to be treated as a dear brother. This is the gospel appeal. This is the thing that drives me nuts. True gospel appeals tell you that God puts everybody on the same plane, on the same level. You know what it is? It's that you're all sinners and you're all slaves to sin. And there's only one person that could set you free, Jesus Christ. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not 2 + 2 = 4 set you free. It's Jesus. And so there's a reality check that goes on. Scripture knows that these things are taking place, and human institutions are sinful and wrong. Just like it was sinful, you think, well, this is no big deal. Watch what I show you. It's just as sinful, like when God called for Adam, and Adam ran and hid. Why? Because he disobeyed. You think, well, all he did was disobey. That's what brought death on the planet. Billions died. I mean, it's just, you can't get away from it. And my whole point in bringing that up is for us to understand a few things. Look. there is a tremendous error in our country that has taken place. And I have yet to hear, I don't know, and maybe somebody knows of something better than I do, but I have yet to hear people address, I have yet to hear anybody quote Exodus 21:16 from the pulpit and just simply say, look, this was this whole institution was based on a twisting of scripture. Just one time, one person say that. So that we can go, yeah, that's bad. That's a bad deal. We need to unwind that as much as possible. And don't tell me, well, you wouldn't know, really? Because the Jews were slaves for 400 years in Egypt, right? So there's no way God's going to bring them out of that and say, oh, do the same thing. That's why that's so absurd. And so my point in bringing all of this up is for you and I to get a better handle on, hey, that's a bad deal. That was a wrong deal. That was a twisting of scripture. And in that twisting of scripture, it brought sin and stain on our nation. Now, is America the worst country in the world? No. Everybody can acknowledge, no, it's not the worst country in the world. There's a lot of really bad countries, right? I mean, I'm just saying, if you go to Germany in the 1940s, they're exterminating my people, the Jews, by the millions in gas camps. It's like, it's just unbelievable, right? Is there some things America's done well? Yes. Is there something America has done poorly? Yes. Is any nation blameless before God? No. There is no nation. Let me take this down to the next level. There is no state, there is no city, there is no street, there is no home that is blameless. Every person put Jesus on that cross. Everyone. Not an exception. And we're all guilty from that point of view. And did this American slavery stain our nation? You bet. Have we recovered from that stain? No way. Is that as bad as other things? You bet. It's horrible. Should the nation repent for what we promoted? I think so, but I think we should repent for a few other things, like abortion, like not being aware that we are literally not feeding people when we can. I don't get it. I don't understand how that's a blessing. On the other side of that coin, do we have the opportunity to worship God freely? Most do. Do we have the opportunity to pray and to read scripture and to evangelize? Most of the time. And that is quite contrary to many countries. So there's good and there's bad. There's up and there's down. But don't you kid yourself for one second. Every person, every street, every city, every state, every country, every nation, every continent is guilty before God, period. You think, well, that's just really mean, tough. That's one of our favorite words around here, tough, because that's what it says. And if you don't like it, tell God. Go up to heaven and argue with God and let me know how it goes. You won't win, but you can try. Nobody's won yet. All right, the answer to the trivia question, who is the father of lies? That's the devil, Satan himself. In John chapter 8, Jesus calls him the father of lies. Not some lies, all lies. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where pulling punches is not typically our way to approach things. We just have a little bit of a different perspective. And to give you an idea of the different perspective, in my PhD class, I had mentioned just the other day that I had stirred up the pot a little bit by writing a thing or two. And turns out, see, typically on a question, you'll have five or six responses kind of thing, right? So right now it's Thursday, and typically you don't really post till Thursday, and we're already at 18. I have a feeling it's going to be like 45 or 50 by the time I'm done. But, you know, because you got to ask. You know, you got to ask. I got even the professors popping in all the time. It's like, wow. But that's part of the fun. The part of the fun is you have to be willing to examine. And if you're wrong about something, instead of trying to justify it, which I think most people end up doing, own it. Just own it. I mean, it's so much. I mean, David owned it, and he kept his dynasty as a king. If you don't own it, God will help you. That's help you own it, so to speak. All right. Don't forget, you can text us 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. You can call us at the 972-445-0770 number. Here's the last trivia question, and I still got a little bit of stuff in me, so don't go nowhere. Where in the Bible, what chapter does it say in the Bible, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things"? Where is that? What book is that? What chapter is that? What verse is that? Give me any of those things. If you know, you're welcome to reach out to us, 214-210-8483. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. David at hemustincrease.org is the email. He Must Increase Ministry and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And you have to know I'm not done. I mean, I don't know how you would think any other way. Here's the thing, and you guys, I think by now a lot of people who have listened to the show know part of the things that I really gravitate to and gravitate away from. I'm a Baptist, Calminian, manifold millennialist, so that'll cover about 99% of you. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is what happens that frustrates me. It happens on television with commentators, and I don't care what network, by the way, because they're all doing it. Okay, they're all doing it, but they comment, they take scriptures, and they try and make a point. Somebody in the political realm will use a passage to justify some action or some vote or some behavior, and then they cross-channel each other. And all they're doing, by the way, is watering down the Word of God. None of them are using the Word of God properly. None of them, it says, the Bible says, rightly handle the Word of truth. None of them are doing that when they're doing it politically. And I want to make sure you understand that when you get into these issues, it's not the Bible that's wrong, it's the twisting of the Bible that's wrong. And the Bible identifies that. In 2 Peter 3, 15 through 16, it says this: bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Wow, that's just like, yikes. Would you like to be the person reading that to the letter to the church? People would probably be looking at you funny. Here's the bottom line. What Peter is writing is that people take verses, and because they are either unlearned, and by unlearned we're saying ignorant, and they're ignorant on purpose because they're pushing past the Word of God and just not giving it its credit or its due, or they're unstable, and then they twist these things to justify positions. That's what happened with American slavery. They did exactly what 2 Peter 3, 15 through 16 says, and they did it to their own destruction. And by the way, the consequence of those sins has created some of the destruction of our nation. That's just, you can't get away from that. It's just sin. Just like other sins have done the same thing. And it bugs me because they take the Word and they mock the Word. They make fun of the Word. They ridicule the Word. Then they say the Word says stuff it never says. And none of them have even read the Word. That's the thing that bugs me, I think, the most. It's like, look, see Dick run. See Jane run. See Dick and Jane run, right? It's called reading. It's, you know, it's fundamental, and they don't even bother. They quote one portion of one section of one verse and ignore all the rest. Well, that's what Satan does. So I don't know who they connected to. I mean, you got to have it all. That's why Jesus said, it is also written. And the one thing I do want to say that doesn't get promoted enough is to understand that the worst slave owner of all is sin. And you just don't hear that. And it bugs me. I mean, John 8:34, Jesus replied, "Verily, verily, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Boom. And you think, well, why? Why is that worse, Dave? Because sin has eternal consequences. Sin can separate you and does separate you from God. And if you don't repent permanently, that's eternal. That's bad. That's not good. That's bad. Okay? And so my point to you is all of the Word counts, not some of it. And it's not just this issue, and I want to make sure you understand that. I do a bunch of different segments. I mean, the thing on abortion, I teach like for a week. It's because it's so absurd what they try to promote. And I'm still wincing on, and you should be wincing too, on, well, abortion is an essential service during this lockdown, but church is not. It's like, wait, killing of babies is totally sanctified by the state, but gathering together to worship Jesus Christ is not. I thought that the government shall not make any laws, you know, prohibiting the religious freedom. I thought that was in one. I thought that was the same thing as free speech. I swear that's all together. That could be wrong. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is the Word is not poorly written. It's poorly understood. God created the universe, he can write a book. The bigger question is, can his creation bother, take the time to bother to read it? If a Martian landed in Washington, D.C., okay, I'm using the Martian one. If the Martian landed in Washington, D.C. and came out and he had a big green head and spoke with an echo, right? Hello, low, 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 low. Human, human, human. Right, 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 right. And he held up a book and he goes, I have a book. That will help you. Every person on the planet would read that book. Wouldn't you? Yet, greater than a Martian has given us a book. And it's like, well, maybe we should read it. If your Bible has dust, take the dust off and get your BFN in the book. And you're thinking, what's BFN? What's BFN? Big fat nose. I don't have a problem saying that. I'm Jewish. I don't care. Get in the book. And if you have a translation that you're not getting, like when you read it and you're like going, thou then this, thou there art thou then this, then get a newer translation. They're fantastic. There's only a less than a 1.1% difference between all of them. No matter what anybody tells you, they're just making stuff up outside of that. Read the book. Know what it says. Appreciate, respect, and honor the things that God has tried to communicate to us. He's given us laws that are moral, laws that are civil, and laws that are ceremonial, and took those ceremonial laws away through Christ so you don't have to sacrifice a lamb. That's good. That's good. I like little lambs. I don't want to do that. Although I do like lamb chops. All right, so here's the bottom line. The bottom line is use the word. It's your guide. It's not ill-written. It's just ill-read. And when you sit down to read the word, don't speed read. This is a practical piece of advice, and we're going to exit. Take a deep breath and just ask God to help you understand what he's trying to share. And put that in your life, and you'll have a better life. There's just no question about it. All right. The trivia question was, where in the Bible does it say, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. That comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Yep. The chapter on love is also the chapter on could be time to grow up just a little bit. Get it? Got it? Keep it, hold it, embrace it, and love him in all things. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.